Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, 11, really. We began in the first service, the life of honor. The life of honor. I might change the title, but it looks cool for now. And I'll just review a few things we said. John's Gospel talks about the Word, all right, from verse 1, the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was anything made that was made, and Him was life. The life was the light of man. Verse 5, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And I said in the earlier service that all men will believe through a man. You only believe God through man. And we laid that foundation early in the morning, that God uses men. Right? And Paul, in Ephesians 4:11, says he gave gifts unto men. For the perfecting of the saints, verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more babes, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, which like cunning scoundrels of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So God's plan is thrusted upon men. We said that. Even the Savior is a man. He was a man in his incarnation, and he is a man. And that shows us, you know, how God deals and how God will minister to us. Look at John 1:12. So John 1:11 says he came. John 1:10 says he came to his own. So he came to the world, even though the world was made by him, the world didn't know him. He came unto his own, and that's where we left off in the first service. That element. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, verse 12, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So he said, there can be faith if there is no honor. There can be faith if there is no honor. So honor is faith in action. Honor is faith in action. Now look at the word he came to his own. It's the word idios in the Greek, I-D-I-O-S. It's used for what belongs to you. Family, hometown, kindred. It's used for family, close relations with you. It's used for private relationships. Now, I asked a question in the first service. Did he come only for those who received him? No. But only those who received him got the blessing of why he came. That's important to know. If you are not receiving, or if you are not getting blessed by a ministry, you do an honor check. Because he came to his home. And we said that familiarity can be a major hindrance. And you know why we cannot get rid of familiarity? God will keep using men. So there's nothing you can do about familiarity. You know, he won't put his ministers in a planet. All of them were so as soon as they finish preaching, they travel back. So you don't see where they live, you don't see what they do, you don't see how they look. In fact, they only show up. And I discovered that human beings like being exclusive. They love you not being reachable. If you seem to bless people more, that's just a theory, when they don't have any kind of access to you. You just show up. And that was for me as a younger minister. I found that out. And then I learned this from another minister. So usually, I'll just come up, preach, and leave. I'll come up, but then I found out that that's not really right. I just come up, preach, and leave. That's all. I did that for a while, then I stopped it. In fact, what blessed my heart was when I went for a meeting, And Pastor W. Higgin was the pastor of the church. And I saw him before the service. I saw him, of course, during the service. I saw him after the service. I mean, he was just with everybody. He was greeting people. And all. And you see, in Christianity, we lead by examples. We follow examples. You know, we see things and we do them. So as I saw that, and this is a man by this year, he will be around 60 years in the ministry. He's going to be 80 next year. And so I found out that, well, if this man, obviously the son and the carrier of the ministry of Kenneth E. Hagin, the man I refer to as a spiritual father, and if he could act this way, and he was obviously greeting everybody, he was just having fun with everyone and all that, and he was going to be the one to minister. And interestingly, he had the Holy Ghost meeting. So it wasn't just a men's meeting. You know, when you're doing men's meeting, you don't have to pray. Because you're just Jesus. So he prayed. He must have prayed. And that's all. After the service, he waited behind. He took pictures, selfies, no-fees, L-fees. And I felt, this is a man of God. This is just like Jesus. This is just like Paul. So I said, all right, I'm coming home to correct that. Of course, not that I wasn't reachable at all, but I just said, there's something about that. You know, but I found that the flip side of that is that human beings really like being exclusive. They like God in the temple. They like washing their bodies. They like going there and shaking. But when he came, they didn't like him. Human beings just like that. You know, are you seeing people that, you know, when they ask for the number, sir, can I have your number? And I said, oh, and they almost went, oh, Jesus, you gave me a number, oh my God, oh my God. Then after like 2 months, they don't pick your call. On the first time we got there, I was shaking when I saw your number. Oh, thank you, sir. It's a privilege, sir, to hear your voice, to hear your size, to hear who you are, and all that. We just give it a whole time. So human beings like being exclusive. You know, but I don't think people who are spiritual should be like that. I said earlier on that what brings this honor is lack of knowledge. You remember that? Lack of knowledge or lack of acting on God's word. Lack of knowledge. So I gave an illustration. Should I give that illustration again? The one I gave, where is it? Okay, I'll use you again. And I said, you know, and you're a medical doctor, there's nothing you do with money. Hippocratic Oath says that you should love your patients, don't go on strike, shun die. So if I come to him and I say, David, what do you want? How much do you ask me any amount? It's like he's going to look at me. And not to embarrass me, he'll look at me, what car does he drive? You know, he's always wearing his community uniform. What really about him? You know, he looks at me and feels really, all right, 100K. Well, here somebody gives him a gist that, hey. Someone goes over and said, if you know his father, that's what I mean. His father was a king. A wealthy man, he asked for parties all over Lagos. I fell down. You know, some people can be so confident about stupidity. What they don't know. I said, his father owns property all over. He said, go and ask him. He has it. So if he hears people like that, he will not look at me. Sir, I don't want to stress you. You can say, 2 million. Right? Why is he asking for 2 million? Because that's how he sees it. And I said also, if the richest man in the world, one of them came to Lagos and was on the streets, Yaba like that, he walked regularly, he was just walking. Though, don't despise things that will be around him without you knowing. Just in case you want to try any funny thing, you discover that he's not alone. I know what I'm saying, you know. you discover that, you know, those who have tough security don't have people that wear black and have shades and, you know, full guns. No, no, that's too easy to penetrate. But he came here. Except he didn't know him. He came from a town. Ask access to Facebook once a week on the mountain. Then he sees this man, and then he walks by. The guy says, "What do you want? What do you want me to give you?" And you look at the guy. Obviously, where the guy came to Nigeria, that's Mark Zuckerberg, actually. He just wants something very simple. You could pass him for Unilag undergraduate, the regular one. All right. And then he says, "What do you want?" Looks at him. He says, "Because you're evil." That's all he knows. He doesn't know who he is. So the guy went like, "What? Look, Jesus Christ died for your sins." You know, he just told you the gospel. But assuming somebody now shows him a Facebook profile and he sees I think he's the fifth or so richest or third richest man in the world. He's what? And he sees the billion and then the currency. And then the figure. And the guy is 5 meters away. He will go there and say, sir, see. That's the way I am. I respect people by asking questions. So, you will ask properly. Do you understand? Why? Because he now has a knowledge of who the fellow is. Sit down. So, your knowledge of people will make you receive from them. Your knowledge of them. Your knowledge of them. So, what do you know about people? You know, you can live with a mighty prophet of God, a mighty apostle of God in your house and not know it. You can stay with people who can bless the body of Christ and you will not know it because they are of your own. So, that's vital. Why did they despise Jesus? He was a man. The way God blesses us, interestingly, is what we despise the most. Because God will use men. And men are the things who despise more. I used this example in the first service. You know, typically people respect angels. I grew up in a white garment church. I mean, grew up as a child, not as a Christian. Amen. Important to always take that. I knew names of angels, Uriel, Gabriel. Somebody gave me Raphael there in the morning. And you know, if you hear an angel showed up and he came to talk to you, you're saying, we, who's that? Who's that? The door opens, gaga. Somebody enters like Voltron, gaga, or Avengers, or whatever you got. You enter, gaga. I came from the Lord of hosts, Jehovah. I say, as he's doing that, the other speaking. You don't do that. Father, speak. The servant is here. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. And the guy is talking. And, you know, smoke is coming out. He hasn't said anything, no. Smoke. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You will go there. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He has said, sit down. He goes. He said, lie down. I'm already lying. Then he says, I'm only a servant. I don't even know the God. He said, I say worship. Then somebody else comes. He starts like skipping rope. And he comes. The Bible says, yes. You look at his shoe. The preparation of the gospel of peace. You see his belt? The belt of truth. You say, are you done? You know, interestingly, the ordinary man who has no spectacular appearance is how God uses men. And that can, it can cause us to lose out. The Bible says Jesus came in the likeness of men, in the likeness of sinful flesh. In Acts 3:12, after Peter and John had cured that man, healed the man at the beautiful gate when the man got healed, and they said, look, don't think it's by our holiness. They said that. In Acts 14, precisely, I think that's in verse 15, where Paul and Barnabas healed that crippled fellow. Listen to this. And immediately that happened. A crippled guy, stand up on your feet. And the guy began to walk. The guy began to walk. Immediately. And there's something about those things that when they happen, even you that is ministering will start looking like you are not ordinary. My dear brother, we went for a meeting and I wore a jacket to the meeting. 1994, 1995, I think. So we went together. Now we got to the meeting and a whole lot of God's power was in demonstration. And I used that jacket to minister to people. When we were going back home, he now carried that jacket like this. The same jacket. And he didn't utter a word till we got home. I said, it was in the evening about night. He just thinking so that I would not disappear. With this, the kind of power this guy just demonstrated now. He's my brother. So when we got home, my mom really didn't like the fact that we went around. There was an occasion going on in our family. So she was saying, why are you doing this? My brother said, Look, I said, do you know the person you are talking to? the thing was still doing him one kind. He said, Kill what with Danny. What's this one that you're carrying? Take it to the room. The point was, it didn't take him a few months for him to argue with me. That thing usually wears off. Right? It just wears off. Imagine, with all the glory the guy has, we're not watching a game. He's not supporting Chelsea, he's supporting Arsenal. Why did you Chelsea? Maybe. And then Chelsea now loses. So he didn't even know they would lose. You can be very petty. You can get that petty. Or you are his classmate. Then quickly go and check his result. You have your own matric number. Just check his own photo. 45. with all the glory and power. 4 or 5. That's even a good one. 29. So, Paul and Barnabas said, we are men of like passions like you. In James chapter 5, when James was going to say, Elijah was a man of like passions. Verse 16. Omoipathos in the Greek. Two words. That's Omoipathos. It means, listen to this. Like passion means same feeling, same affection. Some people don't believe, for example, that a preacher can have an emotional affection. They don't believe it. They don't believe it. They don't believe it. Someone's going to say, I want to ask him. He asked me to marry him. I said, yes. I couldn't believe it. Why? I just couldn't believe it. I said, a man of that level of glory and grace. Don't mind now. Let them get married. And you call yourself a man of God. Same affection. Some people don't expect a preacher to be hungry. Why are you hungry? Are you not feeding on the bread of life? You feed on the word. You didn't expect it. Someone told me one time, he said, Pastor, do you get tired when you are praying? I said, no, I get strength. You want to hear lies, are you? I don't get strengthened. Oh, hallelujah. I don't try to make anybody pray. Me, I'm trying to pray too. If you like sleep, You will meet God there. Me, I'm also looking at the end point. You are saying, I just look away from you. I don't need you to survive. You need to realize that these men that God will use have like passions. They also like Chelsea. Men of like passion, just men. A preacher can have wrong color combination, but with the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God, someone came to me when we were writing by exams. He said, "Man of God, do you know the answer the question?" I said, "How am I supposed to know?" He said, "By the Holy Ghost." You're not serious. I should know by the Holy Ghost. Why did I come to school? I will know by the Holy Ghost. These are just people that don't understand what the grace of God is. It doesn't make a man less human. Right? But I told you something. I'm going to say it later. Even though these men and women are human, you mustn't look at that. Don't even say it. I told the leaders before. It is in your pastor's mouth that you should be hearing, "I am not perfect." It should not come out of your own mouth. Whilst he must avoid being worshipped, you must avoid seeing him as ordinary. Or seeing her as ordinary. So, your pastor says, "I'm not perfect." I know you're not perfect, sir. Ah. That is not for you to say. Hallelujah. It's just like your boss at work. Who comes around to you? Maybe you are eating in the canteen. Shege. Then he takes part of your food. Thank you, sir. When he brings out his own, you two, you go there. Your village people have arrived. Come, brother. Or your boss at work. He sees you at the lounge. How are you doing? How's your family? You two, you now put your hand around you. You know, the best thing doing you has grace. So, in that, you must know how to think. We are men. When they say we are men of like passion, don't say we know. But the truth is that they are. Same things in. I mean, Elijah, with all he did, a woman, a damsel, like we used to say there, threatened him. He began to run. A damsel. You are okay. And the man began to. A man of like passion. Yes, these are the men that God will use. People's humanity do not disappear because God is using them. Many times it's louder. You must realize that. Humanity is what brings this honor. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, "We have this treasure, the 7, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Let me ask you, can you handle private relationships with those that God is using for you? If you can't, it exposes your carnality. Can you handle relating closely with people that God will use to? If you can't, then why do you think Israel was wrong? Let me ask you another question. What if you were Mary? Mary carried God. I'm very sure that there was nothing special about the pregnancy. Let's stretch it forward. Did God poo-poo? Oh, come on, you know, yeah, he must have. Did he cry? Let's leave it out there. Let's stretch it further. But imagine that humanity, and she will have to call him God. If you were Mary, how would you, I mean, you see how mothers talk about it. I was the one. You came to this world by me. I know African mothers. Everybody can say, you are coming to me. Nobody. Father said this one. Nobody loves you like me. That's fathers. Mothers. You saw this wreck before you grew up. Now imagine that's God. Then you go to his meetings. Say, I want to see him. They tell her and her children. Those are your siblings. Who is my brother, my sister? These ones that are hearing God's word. Naturally, it was easy for her to forget everything spiritual about that relationship. Jesus didn't even encourage it. You know what? She became his disciple. Someone you took to school, someone you nurtured in the natural, now you have to recognize him as not just your Lord, your God, and your Savior. What about James? James, they probably grew together. They saw him. They saw him in his naturalness. James had to write, I, James, a born servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He now calls him Kurios. James 1:1. He calls him Lord. My Kurios. Those are important things in learning a life of honor. So I must know it. I must know how to live in honor. We're going to see later on how it depreciates. Because honor can depreciate. The first thing that you must never forget, God uses only men. And those men will be ordinary in outlook. And that's how they will remain. I remember saying to you, to maintain receiving from people that God has brought into your life, remember your desire towards them before they came close to you. Maintain that desire. The way you desire things from them before they came close to you, before you rose in leadership, for example, in church, before you became close in that department or that fellowship or that church or that relationship, before you got married to him or married to her, what was your desire towards that person as touching the work of the ministry and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and the word and the things of the Spirit? Make sure you maintain that desire. Don't let it change. Now, watch this. If close association depreciates value and honor, it's because your spiritual life is not developing. It's not developing. Those who are married, you know, when your spouse switches to minister to you, it can happen anytime. It can happen after food. It can happen after sex. It can happen even after something he or she says wrong. You must know in the Spirit. I told you in the first service, honor is done by the Spirit. You can't stay in the flesh and live in honor. You have to stay in the Spirit. You have to stay in the Spirit. And if we lose honor, we lose the ministry. Whatever you don't honor, you can't receive from. Watch this now. The first thing you need to realize is that you must honor every member of the body of Christ. And that is the reason why you shouldn't be coming to the services late. It's all dishonor. The word honor is the word timos. I told you in the first service, it means value. It's used for money and monetary reward. If you value the children of God, you won't walk into their services late. If you had an appointment, for example, with the president of Nigeria or the president of America, and it says 4 p.m. on Tuesday, 14th of December. Except you've been going there for a while, and you're likely going to arrive in America a week before. Look for anybody you know in Washington, D.C., or get an hotel and stay there. On the 14th of November, by 6, even your appointment is 10 p.m., by 6 a.m., you are at the gate. Why? You value that person. If you can do that, why do you do less for the church of God. It's carnality. You go to places and they give you instructions. You go to, I remember I went to one top place in Nigeria, and we were two, and the person that took me there is quite influential. And he told everybody to drop their phones. And I saw the man drop his phones. And we all dropped our phones. Nobody said, me and my phone, the United. If you cannot take my phone, let me go back home. Who is doing you? We all dropped our phone for hours. And we waited for this person till about 2 a.m. We dared not complain. One time like that, I went to another place like that, not in Nigeria. It was a military government. So it was like the military headquarters. I didn't even know that you had to take security checks. So I was just bouncing. And I took my phone. I know the soldiers were looking at me like this. But I didn't know why. I just, no discernment. So my senior partner, Dr. Kavi, said, Keku. They shoot people. I said, where? I passed to there. I said, God must do it. You walk. I said, I didn't know. I said, no. You don't use phone in this kind of place. So that's why I went there. I dropped my phone in the car. And he was speaking French. But then you come to the house of God where people are, and you just bow. Say, brother, sit down here. Come out. You lack value. You lack value. It means you value the things of the world more than the things of God. You must honor the body of Christ. Is that clear? Honor believers. 1 Corinthians 12, 23 and 24. Honor the members. Romans 12, 10. In honor, preferring one another in love. In love. Romans 12, 10. Who are the people in the body of Christ? Hear me. We'll have those, for example, who are weak in their conscience. 1 Corinthians 8, 6, 7 and 8. They are weak in their consciences, in their hearts. They are not sufficiently fed the word. You have people like that. Yet, you have to honor them. What else? You have those who feed food of an idol. They don't have sufficient knowledge. 1 Corinthians 10, from verse 21, or verse 19, to verse 28. You have those, Romans 14, 2, Romans 14, 1 and 2, who are weak in the faith. You can get this teaching on this one, discerning the Lord's body. Discerning the Lord's body. That can help you. You also have people that will offend you, 1 Corinthians 6, that naturally you should take them to court. Paul says that. But because of that value you place, you know how we say that you can't take your siblings to the court. You can't take your dad, your mom to court. The same thing. Believers. It's tough, I know. But it's called value. Are there exceptions? Yeah, there could be. But you see, most of the time there are no exceptions. It's just that we see people more carnally than we see them spiritually. So, we have to honor, put value on believers. I give you this assignment next couple of days. Put value on believers. Start to see, and let it start from your home, your siblings, your spouse, your kids. Put value on them. Even if you have to correct believers, put value on how you talk to them. Start that way. Because it's a hypocrite that values others outside and devalues those inside. For example, if an invited minister comes to your church, and then you treat the person better than your pastor, you are a hypocrite. And you are a very ungrateful person. Very ungrateful. The invited minister will come and go. You don't, we'll see that in a moment. You come and go. You don't do that. You honor those who, right here, who will be there on a Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday. That's why when I go to any church to preach for them, whatever you will discuss with me, the pastor must be there. I don't take people's phone numbers. I don't do it.
Oh, Father, you've been a blessing. Can I have your number? I said, take it from your pastor.
It's always best. That's dishonor. I just came 2 days. You don't even know me. You don't know whether I'm just a wolf in sheep's clothing. You don't know me.
So, start with honoring those you know now, those in your household, those around you. Honor people in the body of Christ. Let me show you another thing.
A proof that you honor fellow believers is how you honor the gathering. Like this service. How do you honor the gathering? Put value when believers come together. Put value on it. Take a value. Put value on it. Make sure you see it as valuable. Who else? Honor those who teach the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 7. Turn there. 1 Timothy 5, 7. Honor those who teach the gospel. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Now, that's, of course, monetary value. Diplos, timis. That is, give them two of what you honor others. Double value. Especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Thou shalt not mock the ox, the thresh, the corn. The laborer is worthy of his wages. Galatians 6, 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth not good things. That's the monetary value. But the key thing is that those who teach the gospel have double honor. God puts his honor, let write this down, it's important. God puts his own honor on his church. God doesn't put his honor on the richest man in the world. God doesn't put his honor on the most brilliant scientist in the world. God doesn't put his honor on the most handsome man or most handsome woman too, or most beautiful man, depending on what you're talking about. God doesn't put his honor on the best footballer in the world today, Cristiano Ronaldo. God doesn't, you don't like it? Ask Real Madrid. God doesn't put his honor on the best houses, the best buildings. God puts his honor on his children. And so when you dishonor his children, you dishonor him. Don't forget that. God puts his honor also on those that he sends, his ministers. His honor is on them. His value is on them. God values men that he uses. Not because they are more than men, but just because he's the one using them. Also now, more specifically, there are those who are directly accountable to you, or you are accountable to them. Go to Hebrews 13, 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them, he says, that have the rule over you. Obey them that have the rule over you. That's not on Facebook, and that is not on the social media. That is in the local assembly. Obey them that have the rule. The word rule there is control. The first thing is you must know who the them are. Obey them that have the rule over you. He says, they watch over your soul. Because they must give account of it. They watch over your souls. So don't let them do it with grief, for it's not profitable to you. Obey them that have the rule over you, who have control. That means God sends his control to men. Don't forget, God uses men. You can't say you obey God and disobey leadership. That's not possible. You can obey God, disobey leadership. You can love God, don't like this church. You're joking. That's an oxymoron. To obey God, you obey leadership. Of course, I'm talking about godly, biblical, scriptural leadership. Obey them that have the rule over you. In Hebrews 13, 7, it says they speak the word of God to you. They speak the word of God to you. His honor is on them. His honor is on them. Don't forget, his honor is on them. I'm repeating that statement for emphasis. His honor is on them. His honor is on them. I told the leaders before. The Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, if you want the things of the Spirit and the what being taught to be sustained in your church, you must teach honor regularly. I was flying one day, and then I saw an event
in the plane. It was one of the few times, you know, I had to fly a business class. So it was a very private, you know, compartment of the plane. And then I saw something that the crew, what do you call this guy? One of the hosts, the man, what do you call the man? Here hostess, what's he with? Here host. Okay, fine. Host of heaven. He was there. And then there was something he did to the man responded. So I just looked away. As I looked to the right, just about to relax my seat at that point, I saw something similar to what they just did. In other words, the Lord used that example to show me something by a vision. And he said, this is how you receive. That was 2012. He said, 11. He says, go back to Lagos and teach this. Remember that I did a season honor for many. Who can remember that? Season honor for many. Who can remember? Many weeks. So go back and teach this and emphasize. I've always taught honor. He said, now you go teach it and you go emphasize it. Emphasize very, very well. And so every year you watch all our series. Every year I always teach it. It's very, very important. It's more, let me say this. Sometimes it's more important than you praying, because without honor, you can't have an effective prayer life. Honor is so important. Don't underplay it. It cannot be overstated. Obey them that have the rule over you. Obey them that have the rule over you. You see? Submit yourselves to them. Well, they must give account. So there are such people found in the body of Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, turn there quickly. Jesus sends people to preach on his behalf. Watch this. And he says, Matthew 10. Anywhere you enter, if it's worthy, go in. Matthew 10, 11. Come into it and salute it. If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. 13. If it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Hear this. He's saying to you, you can't separate the message from the messenger. You refuse the messenger, the message is gone. The blessings are gone. What he brought are gone. Or she brought. You must learn to receive God's men. Don't forget what I said earlier. You don't choose who God will use. You don't choose how he will use them. Now, if you're in a local church, you already should know who God has chosen. You know them already. They're set in the local church. And so, you must honor them. In Matthew chapter 10, just a few chapters after, he says in verse 40, he that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet, name of a prophet, shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receives a righteous man, name of a righteous man, shall receive a righteous man's reward. He that whosoever shall give to drink one of these things, a cup of cold water, in the name of the disciple, as seriously shall not lose his reward in no wise. Watch this. Whoever God sends, don't forget again, his honor is on them. Therefore, just like he said, he that honors the Father must honor the Son. If you dishonor the usher there, you dishonor the pastor. If you dishonor the fellow, the security who has at the car park, you dishonor the pastor. If you dishonor the pastor, you dishonor Jesus. If you dishonor the associate pastor, you dishonor the pastor. Because the honor of that pastor is on his associates. You must know that. It's a simple principle. You dishonor. Honor, because it's transferable, dishonor is also transferable. The moment you don't honor someone they put somewhere, you have dishonored the person. That's why in this church, that's the way we function. And as a principle, I do not go behind pastors of zones or churches to relate with their members. They all know it. I don't do it. Because if I do that, I bring dishonor to myself. Because the honor I have is already on them. If you call me pastor and I say, what zone are you at? So and so zone. What church? I say, well, let me talk to you and your pastor together. Why? Because there's honor on the person. We mustn't dishonor the person. I put the person in that place by the Spirit of God, but I have to respect the honor on the person's office. Who's following what I'm saying here right now? It flows that way. Understand this principle very well. It will help you in life and ministry. The honor is on them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, you know, when we ask you
to write who you are in Christ. Brother Higgin taught us that we should go through the epistles and look for in the Lord, in the Spirit, in Christ, in Him, in whom. And one of the things you will find in 1 Thessalonians 5, one of your rights and privileges in Christ, and also your obligations. This is 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. I want us to read this one together as a church. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. Let's obey the rule of 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. Let's go together. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor. Hold on now. How many, hold on. How many of you know those who labor in this church? You recognize what you share? Now, who are they? Can you give me an example? An example? Just don't mention names. Who are the examples? Pastors, yes. Coordinators of the church. Heads of departments, right? They labor. So you must first of all know them. And the word know there is actually in the Greek to know very well. To recognize them. You recognize them. It's not just know their names. Recognize them. That labor among you. You say that labor in the body of Christ. Is that what he said? No, among you will be in your church. Know them that labor among you. Now, let's go further. And are. Can we say in Christ? In the Spirit? In our righteousness in Christ? I got you right. In the Lord. So, one of the things you have in Christ are your leaders. They are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Your go-to person. Those you go to ask for counsel. Those who teach you every Tuesday, every Thursday, will follow up with you. Those you use many times to do study group. Maybe I don't know. You run to your pastor. Sir, it's not that I want you to do it for me. But I just have a problem with this teaching. I'm not hearing it well. And you want an answer. And the person answers. Those who labor. Never despise people's labor. You see, if you treat people's labor with contempt, you will never attain to anything useful in the ministry. Let me say that for you in capital letters. If you treat people's labor with contempt, you will never attain anything in life and ministry. Ministry, I mean. When I see people who go astray in ministry, I always ask them, who and what did you dishonor? Who and what? It can't be because you committed a sin somewhere. No. Your sins are forgiven. And you walk in the Spirit, you bring lots of flesh. But who did you dishonor? What did you dishonor? There must be something you disrespected. Watch it. You can predict the path of people very easily. He says, know them that admonish you. Those who labor. People have spent hours praying for you. How many people pray for you? Let me see. You know people pray for you? You don't know? You know. Look at the leaders. Apart from praying for you, we get them to pray extra. They pray extra. And they pray. Some of them serve. They travel. Do different things. Remember when we write some of those books? I had 4 nights. I didn't sleep. Charismatic ministry. I didn't say I slept during the day. No. At the point I knew, bros, if you continue like this, you see onto your hands I commit my spirit. And I know many of the leaders. I got them on there. At midnight, I just bought. Wow, are you sleeping? No, sir. Check this text again. Get back to me. Write this for me. Some of them would neglect other things. At work, you know that they are dozing. Just to feed the body of Christ. They see them. So, God can use anybody. Why has he not used you? Because you are useless. People that are useless talk anyhow. Yeah. They won't amount to anything. Know them. Know them. That they admonish you. Look at verse 13. Let's see 13 together. Let's go. And what? Esteem them. Hold on. No. The word esteem is the word eigomai. It means to put them ahead of you. Eigomai is a word used for leaders. H-E-G-E-M-O-A-I. It means to put them ahead of you. Not just in the service. If you see them on the road, you see them among your colleagues, you are wealthy, they are not. But treat them with honor. Don't treat them with honor in the service. When you now see them in exclusive areas, you are now uncomfortable to call the person my pastor. He's a man of God. Or Mr. Or your phone. You know people? On their phone, you just say emoji. I say P Jakes. Or P J. Or say P the black pastor. Go check all minister friends that I have. Their names are on my phone the way they are when I speak with them. Because it amounts to disrespect. Honor is more what you even do in the private. Well, how do you see the person privately? Because if you treat the person differently publicly and privately, you have discontent and contempt are in your heart. That's hypocrisy. So he says, esteem them. Hallelujah. That means put them ahead of you. See people in their positions. Put them ahead of you. Hallelujah. Let's go on. In love. No. Esteem them. Now, Paul is deliberate here. The word very early is the word kerusos. It means exalt. Now, esteem is already ahead. He now has another one. Exalt them. Somebody you always keep high. Somebody you keep high. Somebody you look at in his position. Not because he's not human. Not because the person is the most intelligent person you know. The most brilliant, the richest, the most handsome. No. The most beautiful or the most. No. It's that office. Because it's an office of grace and for grace. Watch this. Esteem them for their work's sake. Something for their work's sake. That means teaching, preaching, prayer, ministry. Look at how he finishes. That and be at peace where? So one of the ways that can cause disaffection in the local church is to not act on this. There will be no strife in any church when the leaders are respected. There will be no strife. In any church. If the leaders are seen the way they are, in their offices, where God has placed them, there will be no strife. Watch this. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are what? Unruly. So who are the unruly people? Who can define them for me? Those who don't esteem, those who labor, those who see them as just one of us. Years ago, 21 years ago, we started this a ministry together. We call it the Faith Family Network. Now, I can say this because it's been years, so I can say it. And then I said to them, you know, most of those who were in the team, I raised them, got them born again, and so forth. Some of them came, joined us, and, you know, we're having great times, traveling, having meetings. So I told them one day, I said, we're actually a team. Just to let them feel welcome, you know, confident or what. They said, we're a team. But because we're a team, we're working together. And so in foolishness, in discussing, and as I told myself, you know, we are all team members. Pastor is just the coach. He's like the captain. But we all have our roles to play. That looks innocent in statements. As he kept saying that, disaffection, dishonor, disrespect set in. And everybody left what was the person talking to you. Now many of them really, now we're back in relationship now.
And there's a lot of regret on how things were handled. Maybe I was younger, I could have said that better. You know, but, you know, I don't know. But I think it's, like your friend would say, if you dishonor, even if it's because of someone's error, it's because there was dishonor in your heart already. When you don't know how to do it, you will not do it. That's a fact. But the point was, despite all we had to do, we prayed together, we had visions together, we had dreams together for the body of Christ, but there was dishonor. Why? Because you have to know who is who. You have to know who is who. You have to know who plays what. If your cousin brought you to a church, that's all. He brought you to a church. Look at the leader. I never, and I've said that before, I never let personal relationships intermingle with the spiritual things. If I'm married to you, it doesn't mean I'm going to discuss church to you. And vice versa. They are two exclusive relationships. You must understand that. Honor is called honor. Value for the body of Christ. It mustn't become a chip on the platter of marriage, business, friendship. Separate it. And very well so. Esteem them. He says, those who are unruly, exhort them. Unruliness is when we don't realize these truths about our relationship. Tell your neighbor, say, we are not the same. Say, we are not the same. There are people, because of their responsibilities, they are over us in the Lord. Say it again, we are not the same. God has set people in this local assembly who are over us in the Lord. We will do well to know them, esteem them very highly for the work's sake. And this is what will honor Jesus. Amen. So, you have to know that. Esteem highly. And I found something out. Honor is impossible when there's no consecration. The way you renew consecration, you renew your honor. You have to do it. Watch this. Can honor depreciate? Yes. Honor can depreciate with time. Where either of the parties, or the parties, or one of the parties, begins to walk in the flesh. Honor can depreciate with time. Peter was a person who saw Jesus from afar. He fell down, said, depart from me, I'm just a sinner, I can't do this. No, you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. And he followed him. Not long after that, this was the same person who rebuked Jesus in Matthew 16, 22 and 23. Where did he get the boldness from? Time. Time can either deepen honor or depreciate it. It's left to you. Time. He probably had seen Jesus. He probably had helped him clean the toilet. He saw him hungry. He saw him sleep. Deep sleep. He didn't see him lie or cheat or do anything like that. But he saw him in his humanity. He saw him cry. He saw him. And another thing that happens is that he saw Jesus. If you observe very well, he also saw Jesus mocked. You must be careful. When people mock people you respect, it has a way of staying in your heart. Even though you are not the one that did the mockery, but the fact that someone could dare to do it will register on your heart. He saw it. He saw them mock at Jesus, call him names. It's not unlikely those things will stay. That's why when you see people write or speak in dishonor, don't read it to shake your head and say, stop reading them. Whatever you don't see, you can't think about. Whatever you don't think about, you cannot act upon. So, honor can depreciate with time if you expose your heart to the wrong things. Peter has honor for Jesus, obviously depreciated.
What things you hear?
As a principle, go ask all my friends.
It is impossible for you to call me and talk to me about someone I hold in high esteem.
I won't forget this statement made by Brother Tok. Brother Tok is someone I respect. I've known him many years, 20, well, 75, 24 years or thereabout.
And we've gone through thick and thin. One day we had a conversation. I'm saying this publicly because he said I could say it publicly. So we had this discussion about Kenneth Hagin. And I asked him a question. I said, what if you find out that Brother Hagin's interpretation of certain things were not right? He said, I will never tell you. I said, you won't tell me? He said, I won't. I'll know it, but I'll never tell a human being.
I think that's a level of honor. Very deep.
Not that he says, I won't know it, but I won't say it.
That's quite something.
And I learned from that conversation. Because over time, honor can be appreciated. When you begin to hear things wrongly about people you respect, gradually they can come to your heart. You may eventually possibly say, no, don't say that again, nonsense. How can you say that? But don't forget, they've said it already. It's somewhere in your heart, somewhere in your mind. And if you don't take care, as you see who he or she, you will see what you were told. So honor can be appreciated with time. Look at someone like John the Baptist. This was a fellow who said, I can't even untie his shoes. That's what he said. He said, I can baptize. You baptize me. They came to John and John 3 and said, this fellow is baptizing people. He said, no one can do anything except the union of God. He said, look, I am only a servant. I'm not the Christ. He said, he is the one that God sent. He gives his spirit to him. John 3:34. He said all of that with all. But when circumstances came and his expectations were not met, obviously he was in jail. Jesus had no sermon on it. Jesus is not, you know, pandered to his whims. Jesus is not trying to do what he liked. And he was in jail. And Jesus did not do any miracle, send an angel, and he was right there grieving, already feeling bitter. Watch what you say when you are bitter and when you are angry. Watch the things that you say when things don't go your way. Watch it. If words are so important that we say them, we get saved, we say them, we get healed, words are also important in honor and dishonor. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying. You can watch what you say. And he says, are you the one to come, or should we expect another? Jesus, obviously. I learned something about what Jesus did. If I were in that shoes, of course, I'm growing now. How I said, who is he to say that? Who is he? Is it the only thing that is disturbing him? Or the wilderness is saying, am I the one that sent him to Herod? Jesus didn't say that. Jesus simply said, you know what? That fellow is greater than a prophet. Wow. That's what Jesus said about him. He said, no one has a reason like John the Baptist. Dishonor is not a reason to also dishonor. No, it's not. You can't say you are walking in the flesh because the other person walks in the flesh. Jesus maintained his honor for John in spite of what John said. Never allow time to depreciate honor. Allow time to deepen it. I said in the first service, the more humanity you witness, the more your honor should deepen. Watch. Look at Saul and Samuel. 1 Samuel 10:16. This is the same fellow who Samuel said, God wants to choose you as king. He said, no, I'm not worthy. Oh, no. No wonder Samuel told him, were you not small in your eyes? But we quickly forget. We quickly forget the people we desire to be close to receive from their ministries. Now, time has passed. And so, familiarity has set in. The same Samuel now was sent by God to Saul. And he said, that guy is not a beast. You know,
He says to Saul, what are you doing? I asked you to kill everything. You didn't kill everything. He said, well, what's he talking about?
He said to him, wait, don't go.
He was telling Samuel, he said, don't go. For Samuel 15. Samuel told him to obey his better sacrifice. Verse 22. To ask him than the blood of bulls and goats. He said, disobedience and rebellion is like a sin of witchcraft and idolatry. He heard all of that, but his heart was gone. The same person who would speak to him and he would be shivering, said, I've heard you. Is that all? Is that all? Say yes. You know what? Don't tell anybody what I just said. Do you hear me? As we are going out on TBN, don't say, just appear like I'm still the king. To know how beastly or bestial they have become, Samuel had to act that way. He had now become someone that couldn't be controlled. The same person, a few chapters, was shivering to be called the king. Now said, If I hear, Samuel was just going, if he can go, he had become a beast. In 4 Samuel 16, when the Lord turned to go and anoint David, he said, I can't go because of this Saul. The Lord had to give him wisdom. Say you are going to worship. A human being has become such a threat. It's dishonor. Dishonor will turn you into an animal. You will become what you never thought you can become. Could have become. Are you following this? Are you following this? David knew better. The same Samuel, remember, before Samuel 3, Eli had fallen out. His kids were sleeping with the women in the temple. They were taking the tithe, eating everything in the temple, causing a lot of dishonor. And the Bible says that the glory of God had air lifted in Israel. And Samuel, as a young boy, knew all that. But you know what? He still had a lot of honor for Eli. What amazed me the most about that story was when Samuel was going to be called into his office. It was the voice of Eli that the Lord used. That stunned me. That is the same Eli. Imagine if he had left his house, written things about him on Facebook, called him names, walked away. Maybe there would have been no priests or prophets called Samuel. You can't choose how God will do. He heard the voice the first time. He ran. Wait, he ran to Eli. Did you call me? Two things that says to you. He had been trained in responding in obedience. And respected the man still. If he was the kind of guy, you know how we're young. Chago! Chago! Are you there? He knew to respond immediately. The first time, I didn't call you. The second time, I didn't call you. The next time, said, speak, Lord. Your servant hears. That was how he was called to the ministry. God didn't use the voice of his mother or someone else. It was the voice of Eli. So Samuel understood the honor principle. David and Saul. Saul was killed. What a time to gloat over. Yes, I said it. I said it. How can you oppose me and expect to live long? The guy that brought the news, David killed him. Tell it not in that. Declare not on the street of Ascalon. How are the mighty fallen? That's all. You see, this man understood it. You have to do the same. Are you following what I'm saying? Paul in Corinth. The same Corinth. 1 Corinthians 4 and 10. He says, we have received this honor in this place. 1 Corinthians 4, 10. We are fools for Christ's sake. You are wise in Christ. We are weak. You are strong. You are honorable. We are despised. We are despised. 1 Corinthians 14. Over time, he became despised in the same place. Galatians 4. Have I become your enemy? Because I told you the truth. So over time, people can bring in dishonor. Association, closeness, sometimes offenses. Or familiarity. Hope you are learning something. Hear this very well. 75% of God's will for your life or more
is tied to your association. If you get it right in association, you get it right in God's will. If you lose it, you lose it. God calls people. There's a person he will call. He calls people together. Associations. If you read Romans 16, read all Paul's associations. Men and women that made it effective for him in life and ministry. God calls him to the local church. He puts men there. Those men and women are important. It's called for your life. Separate me, Acts 13 to Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them. Recognize those relationships. God, how many of you have seen that relationships, supernatural relationships, the local church, ministry, that God has placed you in, God seemed to work it out his way. Let me see how many of you have observed that. He just works it out. You thought it was just an invitation somewhere, and you found it was God's will. It was just something you listened to, people you met, and God just orchestrated. I must learn to honor that. Many people who made me know, those who are blessing me today and who are blessing me, they're not even in that relationship anymore. Some people, their role is just Ananias, and that's all they're going to do. Point out Saul or Tarsus to everybody, and that's all. And so in life, realize the importance of association. And the people God will place in your life and place you in their life, they will not be perfect people. You have flaws. You have fallouts. I always tell leaders, what has brought us together is stronger always than what seeks to drive us apart. If we stay up together, there's nothing we can't do. But if we stay apart, there's nothing we can do. There will always be issues in our midst. You can't take that out. We're human beings. We have life passions. We make mistakes, errors of judgment. But that divine hand and leading and purpose must never be substituted. When you realize this, it means you are growing up. So note those associations. The Hebrews 13:7 association, Hebrews 13:17 association, the 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13 association. Note those associations and stick to them. As we close, how does honor depreciate? It depreciates with time. It can either deepen or depreciate. It never stays the same way. It either deepens or depreciates. And when it depreciates, you begin to see yourself ask funny questions. Mark 6:2. Is this not the son of Joseph? Is this not my business associate? Is this not my cousin? You begin to ask the wrong questions. Is it not the guy who did this the other time? Is it not the fellow who did that the other time? Someone told me, shared this story years back. He said, watch this. He was a personal assistant to a very prominent healing minister in the body of Christ. And the guy used to have oftentimes, heartburn, right? Heartburn. So this, acid. Antacid. So he will go and buy it for him all the time. And he found out he was his personal assistant. He said, interestingly, the man will go on the pulpit and then blind eyes will be opened, the cripple will walk. And so he was really confused. He said, there was now a day which baffled him the most. He had the same heartburn, was Rick Godwin that said it. He had the same heartburn, and this man that he just was answering for laid hands on him, and his heartburn disappeared. See, things can happen so strangely. Imagine if you thought, this man is answering. Does he have a healing ministry? You would have stayed sick, maybe died. It has nothing to do with his humanity. You need to see that. Don't ask the wrong questions. Is this not this person? If he's this person, if he's really a prophet of God, the same way the Pharisees spoke. If this man was a prophet of God, he should have known this girl is a prostitute. Don't say the wrong things, because his honor shows the kind of questions you ask. If you have found yourself asking the wrong questions, dishonor has set in. Or you begin to reason the way Jesus' opposers reasoned. That blasphemer, John 18. Or Acts 4:13, are they not unlearned? Or Acts 22, Paul is a sect leader. In 2 Corinthians 6:6 and 7, Paul says, this is dishonor. I close here. Don't ask the wrong questions. Maintain your confession and affirmation of the person before and after you became close. Closeness doesn't mean you are buddies or friends. It just means you were brought into leadership, for example. You are now in a department. You are now attending the zonal meetings. You see, I mean, you now have access to your pastor, your leader. You chat together and so on and so forth. You must watch it and not allow the natural dictates the spiritual. I said in the morning, when the secular becomes sacred and the sacred becomes secular, dishonor has been crowned as king. Watch the questions you ask. Watch your queries. Is he not my husband? Is he not my friend? Is he not my boyfriend? Is he not my business associate? Is he not my cousin? Is he not my customer? Is he not my neighbor? The wrong questions. Is he not my pastor? Is he not my teacher? Is he not a minister of the gospel that will bless my life? See what happens when we dishonor. I'm going to teach a bit of this and watch in this conference. Guard your mind. Guard your heart. You see, what you don't know, you don't think about. The information about people you will just refuse to know about. I keep saying it, there was a preacher of the gospel that, you know, the personal assistant of the wife called one time and said, do you want to discuss with us about the marriage? And I said, well, I don't need the facts. Let's get someone who can solve the problem. So let me just hint you and say, I don't need the facts. It's not, I can't do anything with the facts except to just know it. And then begin to see that man in the light you want me to see him. So I got myself off that conference call and said, Moro, I never heard the facts from the guy. It wasn't necessary. You must guard your heart. You must guard your heart. You must guard your heart. People don't become less graced of God. They don't become less powerful by God's Spirit. They only become less honored. There's no one that God has graced that loses the call of God because of errors and mistakes. No. Most of the time, if you never knew those errors, you would have received them anyway. People only lose their value when we don't value them again. When we hear the wrong things, see the wrong things, think about the wrong things, then this will set in. Watch what you read. Watch what you hear. Following my point? You following this? Watch what you read. The interesting part was in Luke 4. Jesus says that, we read that in the morning, I think that's verse 24. So Jesus says that to none of, there were many widows in Israel, to none was Elijah sent to, but to the woman of Zarephath. She was not a Jew. There were many lepers in Israel, unto none was Elisha sent, but to Naaman. Why? Obviously, Israel did not honor Elijah and Elisha. But someone from another country, another ministry, another church, another nation, saw what he never saw. Why would Jesus walk and speak to the centurion? I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. What Jesus said about that guy, no Jew repeated it. That's honor. That's honor. Same as the Syrophoenician woman, he said the same thing. They were both Gentiles. In Acts 10, who did the Spirit of God prompt his heart to speak to? The gospel, two scenarios before Paul. One was Enoch, who was not a Jew. The second one, the apostolite, the second one was Cornelius. Why? They had a heart of honor. Honor will always attract the right things. Let's follow on. In Matthew 10, when you refuse what God sends to you, others will receive it. You will remain empty, bitter, and offended. So as we close, put your eyes on the grace of God. Always, always, always. Believers' meetings, Holy Ghost meetings. Someone should minister to you. At that moment, receive from the Spirit of God. Not from the person seated beside you or someone you came in the same car with. No. No. To receive what God gives us, we must receive men in their offices. Write this down. Don't carry on with issues. Let things go quickly. Whatever you focus on magnifies. If you focus on people's humanity, it will magnify before you. If you focus on the grace of God upon their lives, that is the same way it will be magnified. What you put your focus on will be naturally magnified. Have you tried to put your focus on the ministry, the office, the grace, the things of the Spirit, the love of God, and put your attention less on the humanity, the way he dresses, the way she speaks, the way she walks, the way she got you angry the other day, and then you'll find out that you will receive better. Don't forget, finally, the only resources available to God in the earth today are men. Imperfect men. That means his grace and glory will only flow through imperfect vessels. So it's a long journey of living in honor, to deepen your honor of men and women that God has sent forth in your life. If you mistreat men and women God has sent in your life, you will mistreat God himself. Don't forget, his honor is on them. And you walk away from God's plan. Walking away from God kind of relationships, and supernatural relationships, is the same way as walking away from God's plan. Always know. Never forget this. If you sleep, remember what I just told you. When you wake up, remember it. When you walk away from God-given relationships, you walk away from God's plans. You can't fulfill God's plan in your own terms. It has to be in his own. Let's learn to live the life of honor. You're blessed this afternoon. Are you blessed this afternoon? Let's stand to our feet and just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.